You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Luke 15. We've been teaching on finances, biblical finance, what the Bible says about finances. And, of course, we talked about God's will is to prosper you and to bless you. But He wants your heart, He wants your love, He wants your service, He wants your trust. And we went through several scriptures to prove that. But if you have your priorities right, you put Him first, the Bible says He'll bless you. Went through several scriptures to establish that. And then we established that God teaches us to profit, that really the profiting, the prospering, the success that we experience or should experience as Christians comes not just dropped out of heaven, but it comes through us, that God teaches us to profit. Amen. And that His blessing is on what we do. So if we do nothing, there's nothing for Him to bless. And I've made several statements like, you can't give your way out of debt. You can't tithe your way out of debt. Now stay with me. You better tithe and you better give. You need to tithe and give because that's where the blessing comes from. But the blessing comes on what you do after you tithe and on what you do after you give. Of course, if you're retired, you've worked, you've paid your dues, you understand the context of what I'm saying. God will bless your retirement. God will bless. There's still other things you can do even then. But I'm not saying you need to go back and get a job. That's not at all what God's saying. But you've worked and God's blessed that. Now you need to believe God bless your retirement. You need to believe God for a miracle concerning Social Security. Hello. Are you with me? You know, because it needs a miracle. But whatever the case, we need to believe God to bless us and anoint us and bless what we do. And so He teaches us to profit, according to Isaiah 48, verse 17 and 18. And if we hearken to His voice, the Bible says our peace will be like a river and our righteousness will be like the waves of the sea. And then He gives us wisdom to prosper. We taught on that one service how that God is through wisdom, wealth comes through wisdom. You go through the book of Proverbs, you can see over and over and over that wisdom in her left hand is riches, in her right hand's length of days, in her left hand's riches. And again, in the eighth chapter of Proverbs, that was third chapter of Proverbs, the eighth chapter says that she, wisdom, will cause us to inherit substance and she will fill our treasures. By wisdom, princes rule and kings reign. Think about it. Why was Solomon so great? Why was he so blessed? By the wisdom that God gave him. That's why he had so much. So what we really need is wisdom. And the Bible addresses a lot of areas of finance. And there's a lot of good books out there for you to read on that and study that if you're interested. The best book's the Bible. But, I mean, there are books that will help you, you know, with your financial planning, as it were. God wants you to budget. God wants you to save. God wants you to quit borrowing. Amen. Hello. I mean, you know, you say, well, I have a house. Well, believe God and get it paid off. Amen. Believe God and get it paid off. God wants you to invest, and there's all kinds of ways to invest. I mean, you can do it with real estate. You can do it with stocks, bonds, CDs, I mean, mutual funds. The list is endless of all kinds of things that you could do where you make your money work for you. You say, well, I don't have any money to make work. Well, if you'll obey God, God will bless you where you will. You know, if you'll learn to budget and save and watch your expenditures and so on and so forth. You say, all that's in the Bible? Oh, yeah, it's all in the Bible. We've gone over a lot of those scriptures. We've been teaching on this for about 3 weeks now. And what the Bible says about work, we looked at it. It's in the Bible. The Bible talks about budget. We looked at that. The Bible talks about borrowing, cosigning, investing. We talked about that. Went through all those scriptures and what the scripture says. And we hadn't yet touched on giving and tithing yet. Yeah. Isn't that something? See, I wanted to do that purposely, talk about tithing and giving at the end of this series, because I think that's what most people think when you think finances and you think the Bible. Most people say, oh, yeah, well, tithes, that's what the Bible says to do. Oh, that's just one thing He says to do. Hello? That's seemingly the only thing we ever think about, spiritually speaking, in church, because that's probably about all we ever hear, really, when it comes to finances in church, tithe, we're supposed to tithe. And I believe we're supposed to, and we will teach on that. I'm not even teaching on that tonight, but I'm going to. Stay with me. And giving. But we need to live a life where we're able to bless and help and give to others. Now, that's more than self-sufficient. That's blessed above our bills and above our payments and above our needs to where we're able to help other people in time of need. I want you to notice something here. You found Luke 15? Now, I'm not teaching necessarily on this, the central truth of this parable, which is the prodigal son. Great sermon. I preached on it before. I will preach on it again. But tonight, I just want you to know some things. I think that we ought to go into the Word with our eyes open. I know the Bible says we're not supposed to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. But as Brother Nichols says, we're supposed to think. Yes. Yeah. Hello. And so, you know, when you read these stories, I think sometimes we hear stories so often that we just miss some of the obvious things in the story. With the familiarity, you know, the sin of familiarity. We just heard it over. Oh, yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I heard that. Heard that. No, you didn't. You heard it maybe as a kid. You maybe heard it so many times you never stopped to think about it. And that's, I want to bring out some points here in this parable briefly because I want to get to some other scriptures. So we're going to just hit this high speed. Everybody in high gear here? Okay. 15th chapter. This is one of Jesus' proverbs. Many of his proverbs had something to do with finances. 16 of the 38 parables Jesus told us had something to do with money matters. And we don't always realize it, but it's very plain that it was something to do with money. This is obviously about money. This is about someone who squandered his inheritance and his possessions. But when you think about it, he's talking about money. He was talking about not using his money right, that it was sinful to go out and just waste it, that wasting is not honorable and it's not spiritual and it's not being faithful. Isn't that right? That's what prodigal means, wasteful. That's what it means. And so he was the prodigal son, the wasteful son. And so often we miss that point. We just think about him being received back because he repented, and thank God that if you repent, God will forgive you. And that is the spiritual truth or theme of that story. But Jesus used a very practical story to bring that spiritual truth about, something everybody could understand and everybody could relate to. And it was about money. That's the point we often miss when we read the story. In fact, if you read here in the 11th verse, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to him his livelihood. Here's something you don't really see often when you read through this. Here's a man who had two sons, and he obviously had some wealth. Are you with me? Because this son came to him, one of his sons says, I want my inheritance. So he gave him his inheritance. Monetarily he gave it to him. He didn't take off and take land with him. Are you with me? He had to take money with him. And so this man had so much money that he was able to, at this time in his life, and he wasn't decrepit. It doesn't appear that he was on crutches. It doesn't appear that he was just, you know, in a wheelchair. He's probably very much vibrant and alive and working himself. And his sons obviously weren't old men themselves. He might have been, you know, in his 20s or 30s. But this man was very healthy, it seems like. Later, at the end of the parable, he runs and meets his son. And you know, a good question to ask yourself, don't you want to be like this man? Because if you want to know the hero of this parable, it's this man. It's neither one of those sons. It's this man. He's the hero of this parable. In his compassion and his forgiveness and his ability to wipe out the past and take his son back when he repented and restore him back to his position. That's the hero of this story. But I think what we often miss here is that could you right now, I'm just curious, could you right now just give your inheritance, half your inheritance to one of your sons if you had to? Are you able to do that? Are you that liquid? Are you that solvent out of debt? You know, we probably miss that point. We missed the point. The guy had enough to where he could actually take money enough to give this man his inheritance, his son's inheritance, to give it to him. And still keep operating whatever business he had. We don't even know what business he had. We know he had several servants. It says that later on. And he obviously just kept operating. Now, he didn't get there overnight. That's the point I want to bring out. And it's just something to think about, and I want to throw that out there for you to chew on. I think we read a lot of these things and we don't see the big picture. This man must have been very responsible. He must have taken care of his business. He must have had money set back and saved up and had his business running enough so that he could actually give, while he's living, give his inheritance to one of the sons and keep operating like he's always been operating. Wow. Now see, we read that and don't even catch that. And I want to be like that man. I want to be like that man from this standpoint, that I'd be that forgiving. Are you with me? And listen, be in position to help if the time came to do that.
That's right. Amen.
See, that's a good question. I know there's a truth there of mercy and forgiveness and so on, but I wonder how we're often not really in a position to help because financially we can't. Now, if you're falling on hard times, we've all fallen on hard times. And so we got no stones to throw. But we're saying this is a goal we ought to shoot for. In my Christian walk, I want to be a more loving person. I want to be a more forgiving person. I want to be a more holy person. You know what? I want to be a more financially secure person. I want to be able to help when the time comes, that I'm able to help when a need arises, that I'm able to stop without any missing a lick on what I do and my bills and everything else. I can stop and help someone. And to do that, I'm going to have to prosper. Are you with me? As you read on the story, and we're not going to take it all apart, the young man took the possessions and he just wasted them. Wastefully, that's what prodigal means. And he came down, I mean, he was eating hog slop. Literally, that's what he was. He was feeding the pigs, and he was so hungry he was eating their food. And it says in the 17th verse, but when he came to himself, I love that. I heard a preacher talking one time about it. He says, man, he lost his gold rings, he lost his bracelets, he lost his, you know, his nice hat, and lost his nice coat, lost his shoes, and lost his shirt when he came to himself. Well, nothing led to him. He lost everything else. He finally realized, you know what? I got a problem. And it's me. I'm all that's left here. I am the problem. That's a great day when you realize that. But anyway, it says when he came to himself, he said, how many, 17th verse, of my father's hired servants, good question, we don't know, it doesn't tell us, but there must have been many. See the point? I mean, this is a man who had a lot of money. Jesus used a man with a lot of money to bring this point across. And you know, Jesus used people with a lot of money in a lot of parables. Some good, some bad. Are you with me? I mean, he talked about shepherds with 100 sheep that lost one, left the 99 to go after the one. He talked about someone that lost some gold coins and went and got it. Talked about somebody who had a field that he found a pearl and went and sold everything and bought that field because of that great pearl that he'd found out there. He had enough money set up by assets he could sell to buy this field. You know, I mean, Jesus used a lot of financial examples, and it didn't seem to bother anybody. I mean, everybody understood him. He had rich friends. We often talk about Jesus being so poor, he had nowhere to lay his head. Foxes have holes. You know, that's the one they quote. Because what happened, they'd come to Jesus in one city. He was preaching, and they asked him, where is his house? And he said, foxes have holes, birds have a lair, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. He wasn't in his hometown. He was in Nazareth, his hometown. He had a house. In fact, they came up to him in Nazareth, and they said, where do you live? And he said, come and see. And he took them to his house. I've often read that Jesus had no home. Well, he didn't have a home in every city, but he had a home. Hello? And at one point, you remember this, they're out in the wilderness, and they were hungry, and they had nothing to feed them. And Jesus said to his disciples, feed them. And he says, well, 200 pennies, that's not enough to feed 5,000 people, plus women and children. Probably about 10,000, 15,000 people. You said 200 pennies, that wasn't much. Well, a penny was a day's wages. How much do you make in a day? Multiply it by 200, that's how much they had in their treasury. In biblical times, a penny was a day's wages. You can do the math. I mean, I had a lot of money they're carrying around with it. They carried around so much money that their treasurer was a thief, and they still had money to give to the poor. That's right. You just think about it. So we often X that stuff out and make that carnal or secular, you know, and non-spiritual. But the Bible has a lot to say about money, a whole lot to say about money, and God's not against money. And you can have all the money in the world as long as it doesn't have you. Are you with me? God's very much concerned about your heart and your attitude, but he wants to bless you with money. In fact, where God lives is a pretty nice place. Where you're going, it's a little nicer than the place you have now. And I don't even have to go look at your home to know that, because I know where you're going. And my, it's a nice place. It's more than you could ever dream or imagine. So, the story goes on. I'm not preaching on this parable. We're doing the fast, you know, quick. Okay. 20th verse. He arose, he came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. His father ran. Okay, so he was still healthy, obviously. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, servants, plural. Hello. These weren't poor people. Obviously they had money. Obviously he had money. He said to his servants, bring out the best robe. You know, and he didn't have to run down to, you know, Ross to get it. Already had it. Nothing wrong with Ross. I need to buy stock in Ross. Brenda keeps them in business. She loves Ross. And lots of other stores I can mention. But anyway, no, I need to buy stock in Starbucks. That's right. Anyway, 22nd verse. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Everybody say ring. Evidently had enough jewelry. He's told the servants, go get one of those rings. You know, just get one of the good-looking rings and that bunch of rings over there. I guess. He said, go get a ring. And he told the servants to go get it. So this is a well-to-do person. I mean, he was well-to-do. And he is the hero of the story because of his compassion and his love. But also, he had something to help with. I mean, he wasn't just forgiving, but he was in a position to actually help his son get established again. And to bless him financially. You know, the Bible says, Proverbs 13:22, a wise man or a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Amen. A good man. So we want to progress as a Christian, grow as a Christian spiritually, yes, in love and character and nature. Character outweighs everything, no question. Principle, living by what's right, no question. But see, we need to not X out and throw out financial prosperity because God wants us to prosper too. And all through the Scripture, you see people who were blessed, who served God, and who Jesus used as examples. Amen. And so he not only stopped there, they went and killed the fatted calf and threw a party. And his other son heard the music. And no offense, but I don't think they were Church of Christ. I think they had instruments and there was music playing. God bless Church of Christ. But there was music playing. Okay? So there's people playing instruments and so on. I'm sure this cost a little bit. He threw a party, you know, fatted calf, gold ring, sandals, new robe, took him back in. And the other son was upset about it. Well, you know the story, and that's I'm not teaching necessarily on that. I just want us to see some of these obvious indicators of prosperity and money that was used in a good way. That was used in a godly way, that was used by a very godly man who was the hero of this parable to bless his children, bless his son. Now, if nothing else, you say, well, Lord, just bless my four no more. But what do you mean, bless my four no more? You don't want to bless anybody else? And what do you mean, just bless my four? Just give them food and just give them clothes, and if they have a roof on their head, that's all that really matters? No, God wants you to bless your children. He wants you to be able to bless your children. He wants your children blessed. He wants you to prosper. Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. So the story goes on, you know, and it ends up, and the son's all upset about it. And he says in the 29th verse, he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. In other words, if he'd asked, he could have got it any time he wanted to. That's kind of the state of the church in a lot of cases, is that we wouldn't dare ask God to help us. And everything God has is ours. You have not because you ask not. And we're dutifully going to church and doing our response, but we wouldn't dare ask God to bless us. And he says, son, everything I have is yours. Anytime you could ask, I'd have helped you. He said, this is right, what I've done. 32nd verse. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and he is found.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And thank God. I mean, it wouldn't be great every time someone got saved down here, we just threw a party. I think it'd be great. I think it'd be wonderful. Just throw a party. What y'all excited about? Well, somebody got saved. You know, Ken mentioned 1 year, been straight and sober. Thanks God for this church. I tell you, we're making a difference.
Amen.
Making a difference. You're making a difference. We're making a difference. You don't believe that? Look back there at Ken. You're making a difference. Man, that'll make you want to shout. That'll make you, you know, I mean, that'll make you want to throw a party. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, turn with me to Ephesians 4. See, you need to open up your mind to the Word of God, not to anything. You don't want to just open your mind up to anything. But open up to the Word. I think we've closed off areas of our mind a lot of times in the Scripture, concerning the Scripture, because we just thought, well, we're not supposed to talk about those kinds of things. In church, we don't talk about money. But the Bible's filled with it. Absolutely filled with talk about finances and money. And I'm sorry, God does not want you. If you think God wants you poor, you are sadly mistaken. God does not want you poor. Now, we've all had to struggle, and we've all had hard times, fallen on hard times. But we need to get to believing God to get out of debt, to get back up on our feet. Are you with me? And I mean, I can tell you some tales myself, so nobody's pointing any fingers. I've been there. This church has been there. This church has struggled before. But you know what? We kept believing. We kept standing. We kept praying. We kept confessing. And we plowed through the thing. We got over the hump. Hallelujah. And you know what happened? We got out of debt. You know what happened? We stayed out of debt. We just made a determination. That's it. We're over. Done with it. Not go there again. Not going to go there. And you know, and people probably, you know, say, I don't even care. I don't even hear the stuff goes around town. I don't listen to it. Are you with me?
Right.
But, you know, people may go by and look at the slab out there and say, look at them. They got that slab. Couldn't even finish the building. Hey, the slab is paid for. We don't owe a penny on that slab. And when the metal comes up, it'll be paid for. Hallelujah. We don't have any debt. We don't owe anybody anything. And you know what? That slab's not going anywhere. No, they're not going to back up and haul that off. That's not going to happen. Hey, Glenn, it's not going anywhere, is it? You poured it. Okay. It's not going anywhere. You can't hook onto it and take it. There's no truck big enough to haul it off. Not going to happen. Dude. But you got to be patient. If you're going to live like that, you got to be patient. You got to hang in there. You got to stay with it. There's going to be good days and bad days, but you know it's working. It's working. Don't compromise. Don't give up. Don't quit. Amen? It's worth it.
Yes, it is.
It's worth it. Okay, Ephesians. Found it?
Amen.
Ephesians 4. I love this scripture. We often quote the 29th verse where it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, that which is good. I'm quoting King James again. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. New King James. We often quote that, and rightly so, that we ought to use our mouth to bless, to not curse. We ought to help and heal, not hurt and destroy with our mouth. But back up the verse before that, the 28th verse. Says, let him that stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may be able to pay his bills. Does it say that? That he may have something to give to him that need it. What are you working for? I'm working to put clothes on my back and food on my table. Well, that's one stage, but you know, you need to go to the next level. What do you mean? You need to get out of the first grade and get to the second grade. What do you mean? You ought to get to where you're working to have something to give to somebody. Oh, hello. You got to get past that. And to do that, you got to get past your bills. You got to get out of debt to do that. Then what you're making, you're able to help and bless others with. But see, we work, and we've talked a lot about work. The Bible talks about that. We took a whole session on work and what the Bible says about work. We've talked a lot about budgeting, saving, borrowing, cosigning, investing, all these things. But see, our goal is not to just get self-sufficient. Our goal is not to just be blessed. Our goal is to be a blessing. I mean, what if you had someone come up that has a need? Could you help them? That's a good question. Do you have extra money that you could actually help someone that had a need? Most of us probably would say no, you know. And I don't say that in a condemning way. It's just something we need to start believing God for. In our church, there are people that come through who have needs. There are missionaries that have needs. I wish we could help them all. We help a lot of them. Help a lot of them. Are you with me? We've got missionaries all around the world we're supporting. We give missions away and we give away. But, you know, it took us a while to get there. We didn't get there overnight either. We started very slow, but we started, and we started increasing, and we started believing for more. And now, You know, that's all we think about. When more money comes in, we think about who we can help and who we can bless and what missionary we can support and what else we can, what other outreach we can start. We're not thinking about, oh man, we've got to believe God to get these bills paid next week. We're not living from paycheck to paycheck like we used to. And so that's a goal that we can shoot for. Yeah, I want to be holy. Yes, I want to be more compassionate, forgiving, all those things. But I also want to be prosperous so I can be a blessing. Woo! Isn't that what it says? 28th verse, let's read again. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him that needeth. Just the opposite of stealing. God wants us in a position where we can actually help people. Give to people instead of stealing and taking from people. He's not. He just skips the middle step, which is just getting self-sufficient. He just skips right over that and goes from stealing all the way to blessing others. Man, I love that. That's where he really wants us to get. And really, that's what he means in this next parable. Y'all ready?
Yes.
Turn to Luke 10. I love this parable. Luke 10. Hallelujah. You know, I'm just praying a blessing of God on you and the members of our church, that God will give you promotions and raises and good jobs. If you need a good job, believe God for a job. You may be out there and don't have one. Well, hey, let's believe God and get a job. There's no condemnation here. We're believing God to go forward. You can't go backwards. Let's go forward, okay? And so we're believing God for great jobs and raises and promotions and inheritances and income tax checks and insurance checks and, you know, and God's going to bless us because we've got our hearts right. We're wanting to expand the kingdom. Hello. We want our children to serve God, and they should be blessed because we're Christians, we're believers. They ought to be raised up prosperous and prospering themselves. Hallelujah. This church ought to prosper. You say, why is that so important? Well, we can influence more people. We can reach more people for Jesus. We can do more. We can get on more television stations. We can reach more missionaries or support more missionaries. We can have more outreaches in our church. We can do more things like Hallelujah Nights. Hello. You know, when you're out of debt, you're not dependent. Your faith's not centered and focused in on just trying to get a bill paid. Now you're centered on ministering to people and how to. And where are you going to put the money? Where are we going to go reach people for Jesus with this? How do we turn this goal into souls?
Amen. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so, y'all found Luke 10.
Yes.
Somebody may ask the question about, Lord, who's my neighbor? It's not State Farm. Stay with me. 29th verse. He wanted to justify himself, said, Jesus, who is my neighbor? 31st, then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the Jericho road. You know the song, okay. And fell among thieves, robbers, thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Bad deal. Nothing this man did deserve this. I mean, this is, you know, and that's why when people fall in hard times, you don't need to be judgmental. It happens to a lot of people. People fall in hard times. The question is, what are we going to do about it?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Now, the thieves came, and it says, and they stripped him, and they beat him up, and they left him half dead. Now, by chance, thank God, a priest comes by. A certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He wasn't from International Outreach Church. I don't know where he's a priest of, but he wasn't from here. Passed by on the other side. Didn't want anything to do with him. You know, a lot of churches, I remember one time we got a great compliment. Somebody made this statement about our church. This is years ago. We first started the church. Been going just a few years. And there was a lady that had started coming to our church. It had a pretty, you know, sordid past and skeletons in her closet, like a lot of us. Are you with me? And somebody from another church in town had just mentioned the person had come to their church and heard they were coming to our church. In fact, this person had told me this, so I'm telling you firsthand. It's not gossip. And this person from another church said, I heard so-and-so was coming to your church. I said, yeah, you know, she's come to our church, and we've just been ministering to her. And he said, well, I'm so glad. You know, she came to ours, but she just, you know, she just didn't fit in our church at all. I'm just glad that y'all's church was there that she could fit in. I said, well, thank you. I thought, that is a backwards compliment. Because that was really praising our church. And I thought, what a great thing to say about our church. Are you with me? It really, I mean, what a great thing to say. That he understood, he probably didn't mean it that way, but he understood that we'd take anybody.
Amen.
And you know, we do have an all, really, we have such a spectrum of people in our church from all different classes. And I think it's so wonderful. You know, we've got state legislators. And are you with me? We got people from all walks of life, I mean, from the low to the high. There should be no class distinction in a church. There should be none. There should be no race distinction in a church. There should be rich and poor, black and white, Hispanic, Asian. I mean, there is, come on, there is, we are the church of God. We're not a white church. We're not a black church. We're not a Hispanic church. We're not a rich church. We're not a poor church. Are you with me? We're just a church. We're the church. And anybody can come, anybody can get better. Anybody can improve, and anybody can grow, and anybody can be blessed, and we're going to love you, and we're going to pray for you, and we're going to work with you, and we're going to hang out with you, rub shoulders. I don't care what you look like.
That's right.
I, you know, take a bath every once in a while, but hello. But here's a priest. Somebody should have known better. Walked by and saw that man laying on the side of the road, and because he was beat up and, you know, and just half dead, he didn't want to have anything to do with it. That's sad. That is a sad, sad state. Well, he passed on, and then a Levite came by, a Levite of the Levitical priesthood, another religious person. When he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side too. I mean, it's like they're walking down here, and they see him, George, like you're laying on the side of the road. You know, you can sit there, don't have to lay down. And they're on your side, and then they just pass on the other side.
Yeah.
Made a point to go around the person.
That was mighty Christian, huh?
Real Christian, real Christian, real Christian. Priest and a Levite. And then it says, the 33rd verse, but a certain Samaritan. Now you have to bear in mind, a Samaritan was looked down upon because they weren't Jews. The Samaritans, way back in the Old Testament, There was the first United Kingdom. There was Saul, David, then Solomon. There were the three kings that reigned over Israel when they were united. After Solomon died, the kingdom was divided between the north and the south. And then you had the kings of the north and the kings of the south. And the kings of the north, their kingdom actually dissolved sooner than the kings of the south. The kings of the south included Judah and Jerusalem. Okay, so they were the ones that pretty much were right. Most of the kings were right on, and they were good, and they were holy, and they worshipped in the temple in Jerusalem and so on and so forth. But the northern tribes got separated in the division, and they were conquered and carried off into captivity by the Assyrians. And so what happened is the king of the Assyrians, he intermingled all the race. He had them intermarried with the Assyrians and Sumerians, and so they broke to break down their national pride so they wouldn't rebel. So they weren't pure. Now that was several hundred years before Christ. So the pure Jews came through Judah. So when Jesus comes along, in Jesus' time you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were all of Judah. They were all the Jews. And the Samaritans, they had nothing to do with the Samaritans. Because they didn't think they were pure. So keeping that in mind, they were looked down on. They were considered less than anybody else. And Jesus purposely used a Samaritan in this example to show that it was what a man did with his life. It was the character of the man, not the content of the character of the man, not the color of his skin, as Martin Luther King said. Are you with me? It was what he did that defined who he was. And Jesus did it on purpose. He had a reason for doing that. And so he said, the holy person came by and did nothing. The pure blood. And did nothing. Then the Samaritan came by. Okay, that, I set you up there, and I just want to make sure you understood that. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came when he was where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Everybody say he had compassion. That's real important. He had compassion, so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. He poured in the oil and the wine. You know the song. The kind that restoreth my soul. Y'all heard that song, haven't you? He found me bleeding and dying on that Jericho road. And he poured in the oil and the wine. That's one of those old Pentecost songs. I'm about to shout now. Just thinking it. I got stirred up just thinking about it. That's when you start dancing across. Oh, he poured in the oil and the wine. It is the kind that restoreth my soul. Okay. I'll quit now. Okay. Well, now, you know, he had old wine. He had something to help the guy with. It'd be one thing to have compassion, it's another thing to be able to do something about it. He didn't just have compassion, he had the means to help the man. I want compassion, don't you? But, you know, I want to be able to do something too. I don't want to just have compassion. I want to be able to help people. Now, I can't do that if I don't prosper. I can't do that if I don't get my bills paid. Oh, come on, get over it now. It's just a song. It says, he poured in the oil and the wine. You know, the kind that restores your soul, you know. Okay. And he set him on his own animal, so he had means of transportation. He put him in his expedition, people, or a Suburban or something. He had a car. Right? He wasn't walking. Come on now, he wasn't walking. He had an animal. That's like a car or something, you know. Hey, the Levite didn't have anything. He was walking on the other side of the road. Didn't say he rode his donkey on the other side of the road. Said he walked over there. See? Starting to see some things, aren't we, huh? Okay. Put him on his donkey or his animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 pennies, 2 days' wages. If you made $500 a week, that'd be $100 a day. That'd be $200. If you make $1,000 a week, that's $200 a day, that's $400. It was a day's wages. A penny was a day's wages. The only way you can work this out, I don't know what footnote you've got in your Bible, but I can tell you exactly how you figure it. A penny a day is what people were paid back then. That was a soldier's wage. That was a vineyard worker's wage. It was a day's wage. And some money. Wow. So he actually put him up, paid for him, old wine, carried him on his animal, which he had, obviously. And then he left. But before he left, he gave him $200 more if he made $500 a week, or he gave him 2 days' wages. To the innkeeper, would you be able to do that? It's a good question. I don't know. I don't think a lot of us would be able to do that. I'm not harping on you. I'm just saying we need to open up our thinking. We need to say, God, you know, I want to get there to where I can help somebody. So if I have compassion, I can help somebody. You know, the prodigal son's father had compassion, but he had something to do. He could do something about it too. He had a ring to put on his finger, sandals on his feet, and a robe to put on. He had a calf he could go kill. He had service to go do it. So he had compassion. But he didn't just say, be warm, be filled. He gave him the things that were needful to the body. That's called faith, according to James 2nd chapter. And we're often thinking about ourselves, but see, are we able to help others? Wow. So 2 denarii, 2 penny, and he gave to the innkeeper, and he said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So he had more money too. That if it was going to cost more than that, he'd just pay it when he got back. And if the man's half dead, it might take him a week to recover. I don't know. You know, probably wouldn't recover in 2 days. And he must have had a rapport with the innkeeper for him to have trusted him to leave him there and take his word that he would come back and repay him. He must have gone through there often, obviously, when you think about it. I mean, you know, if you think about it, take it apart, there's more here than just meets the eye, you know. We often read the story, Good Samaritan, great, wonderful. But there was money involved. And there was a Samaritan who was self-sufficient. Not only self-sufficient, but he had an abundance. He was able to help someone. So So he had money laid by, a lot of money with him also. And it says, I will repay you. So when, which of these, 36 verse, Jesus speaking, which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, the man said to Jesus, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise.
Amen.
Now, he showed mercy how? Financially, he was monetarily able to do something. And that was good. That's money used in a good way. That's a man who had money that was a blessed man. Who I want to be a good Samaritan, don't you? I want to be that the prodigal son's father. I want to be that kind of father. I want to be this kind of... So I want to be compassionate, but also want to be able to help someone financially. You know, here you see, it's interesting, you see three philosophies of wealth in this parable. It's real simple. The thief's philosophy is real simple. What's yours is mine, and I'll take it from you. A lot of people that way. A lot of people that way don't have any money at all. They just think everything you got's theirs, and they want their rights. They demand as a right what you've earned. They want it. That's the wrong philosophy. Are you with me? That's the wrong one. The next one's a wrong one, too. The priest and the Levite had this philosophy. That is, what's mine is mine, and I will keep it. That is not the will of God for your life. God does not want you to live your whole life and just be blessed and spend your money on you. He wants you to help others. A third philosophy is right. That's the correct one. It's the Good Samaritan. What's mine is yours, and I'll give it to you. Wow. Isn't it good? So you got three philosophies. What's mine? What's yours is mine, and I will take it from you. That's the thief philosophy. The priest and the Levite, what's mine is mine, and I'll keep it. The right one is the Good Samaritan. What's mine is yours, and I'll give it to you. But you obviously can't do that unless you're already self-sufficient and have an abundance. You've got to be in a position to do that. Margaret Thatcher said this is good. In fact, I read this in a Dave Ramsey book, incidentally. Margaret Thatcher was Prime Minister of England before John Major, before Tony Blair. I think one of the greatest Prime Ministers England ever had, to tell you the truth. She was awesome, very conservative lady. And anyway, she said this. She said, if the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, didn't have any money, would we even remember him? Think about it. You wouldn't even know who he was. It wouldn't have been a story to tell. Jesus wouldn't even talked about him. He had to have money, or he wouldn't have fit the parable. He couldn't have helped anybody. Not that person anyway, not in that position, that situation. So anyway, giving, well, we talk about giving. We're going to teach on it in more detail later. I just thought I'd take a couple of those parables and throw that out, get you to thinking, open up your mind. Read the Bible, read those parables, and notice these little things. Often we miss them. We just go right by them. God wants to bless us because He wants us to be a blessing. Amen. And yeah, I can be merciful and help people, but I can do it in a very limited fashion if I don't have anything to help with. And the more I have, the more I'm able to bless with.
That's right.
So I'm going for the big blessing. Amen. I'm going for the great compassion.
Amen.
I'm gonna be that father of the prodigal. So I'm gonna be that good Samaritan.
That's right. Amen.
And we'll say, Lord bless me, I'm gonna watch my finances, I'm gonna let God prosper me, and I'm gonna get in a position where I can help people when the time comes and the need arises.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.